What are you listening to?
Shut the hell up. I'm listening to the Noisecast.
What is the Noisecast?
I said shut up.
Ow.
Of the Noisecast, the show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more, where you can find us at thenoisecast.com, where you can listen to our stream or read our articles, and you can also hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. On tonight's episode, we have Gonzo Ryder.
I keep long stabby things by my bed, do you?
Kaiser Maghead.
I am sober.
Kevlar Menace.
I'm a social media guru.
And Benguin.
I don't have a witty intro today.
But we are actually broadcasting this live on Ustream right now. We're testing that. So if you're following our Twitter right now and you're listening to it, well, we apologize in advance for any unedited things you hear.
And if you're not listening, then fuck you.
We like the Potter.
Well, it's been a very interesting week in terms of news. Get your tinfoil hats ready because Apple is planning to dominate the publishing industry by raking in 30% of all subscriptions to any iPhone or Apple apps that get submitted. And it's going to be taking 30% and not giving anything back to publishers in return, such as personal info like credit card info, email addresses, things like that, which publishers use to more directly market advertisements and sell off your information for cash. Will Apple succeed?
I don't know. 30% is a lot to take off the top.
Depending how the investigation will go, because, you know, antitrust and all that. There is going to be an investigation whether or not Apple should be allowed to do this sort of thing.
I'd like to say no. I hope it doesn't work, but the American public doesn't really vote with their wallets anymore, so.
Well, pretty much that's what Steve Jobs is relying on. Pretty much Apple is saying fuck you to the publishers and that people are going to stick to the App Store and they're going to buy the apps regardless, so you either have a choice, you either get on board or get the fuck out.
I think the argument is supposed to be that for that 30% that you pay, you get into the App Store, like it's a really good avenue to sell your product, and even 70% profit is better than no profit that you would have made if nobody bought it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think the Apple App Store is all that anymore. I mean, the Android marketplace is all the up and up, so.
Google released its answer to the Apple subscription plan with its Google, was it called One Click or One Purchase?
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty much going to be giving publishers a bigger cut of the pie as well as pretty much all-out access to any information to their subscribers.
You know, the thing I'm not really clear on about how Apple's thing is supposed to work is some people are talking about like pre-existing subscription services like Netflix and stuff like that, and Apple's going to be taking a 30% cut of that. And to me, like maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it seems to me like that's not how it's going to work. They only take the 30% like if you sign up through the app. If you bring in a subscription elsewhere, they're not getting a cut of that, which publishers are still allowed to do. They're still allowed to take new subscriptions on their own terms. But I don't know. Because I'm seeing a lot of what seems like, you know, FUD about it and people crying uproar. Some of it's justified, but some of it seems just like, you know, Chicken Little.
yeah, one of the things I was sort of confused about was because, you know, something like Amazon, it doesn't just work, obviously it doesn't work exclusively through an iOS device, like the Kindle app and so forth, and it just, because, you know, it's supposed to be like an umbrella for a bunch of different devices. So how exactly is it supposed to work? How they can't take 30% of like a subscription fee for like Netflix, because, I mean, we're going to take 30% when I'm streaming from my Roku box and occasionally using it on like an iPad or my iPhone.
I think it comes down, a lot of it, they'll get a cut from like in-app purchases. So if you're using the Kindle app and you buy a book, they get a cut of that purchase, right?
Yeah, but yeah. It was my understanding that the way iTunes worked was that they're basically charging 30% if it's something that they themselves distribute. Now, is it something actually being facilitated by Apple, or is it just an app provided by Apple? Distributed by Apple, but the content itself coming from like Amazon, for instance. Like, it's not something that Apple is storing, are they? Like, is like an ebook being stored, like Apple's on an Apple's data center, or how does that work?
No, it's pretty. All like, for example, Amazon's books or ebooks are directly from Amazon, where Apple is just playing the middleman. It's just the distribution channel to get that ebook.
Okay,
from what I understand.
Yeah, so you know, because no longer about like recouping the cost of like facilitating the site like iTunes and the store and everything, and like how the same way they do movies and music, it doesn't seem like a workable model for me, just because it's not something that they themselves have to put much cost into storage or distribution. Like, it's coming from Amazon directly. So they're not the ones dealing with the bandwidth and the storage, and like, it just doesn't seem like, it doesn't seem like something they should be allowed to do, in my opinion.
Well, I think, like I mentioned earlier, their argument for taking 30% is they're giving the providers this avenue in the App Store to get their product out there, kind of, I guess you'd call it like an advertising fee. So like, it, to me, it kind of makes sense that they could take a little bit off the top for giving you that privilege. I don't know, 30% seems a little high, but I don't know.
Well, it boils down to whether or not publishers are going to offer it, and I guess if they do offer it on the App Store, it's guaranteed that people will purchase it, because in the end, it doesn't affect the consumer's purchasing power in any way. Unless they're planning on upmarking doing a 30% markup on their subscription fees for the digital version to cover up the cost that Apple is taking. But in the end, the consumer really doesn't give a shit at the end, because they just want to get their content.
If I remember correctly, I think they're not allowed to change their their price in the App Store has to be equal or less than their price outside of the App Store. So they can't raise it 30% to offset that difference.
Right. So that's probably one of the reasons why the antitrust regulators are looking at it, because it's saying, oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. I mean, if somebody wants to charge, you know, $2 at one store and $4 in another, they have the right to, because that's a whole spirit of free market capitalism and competition. So that's one of the reasons why Apple's under scrutiny for this deal from the FCC and from the feds.
Yeah. I don't think it'll catch on. It's got a lot of stuff they need to work out, because publishers aren't going to be happy about that at all.
We'll see how it plays out. I mean, it's still very early in the game, so... And the thing is, if for big publishers, yes, this is a problem. For new publishers, that is probably... Might want to do a startup regarding an iPad-only magazine. For them, this is their opportunity to grab up a chunk of the market share. If big publishers are going to lag behind and sort of dally their fingers, they have their chance right now to snatch it up.
Good point.
Stay tuned for the Noisecast iPad magazine coming to an iPad near you soon.
And our special swimsuit issue.
Fantastic.
we feature Noisecast editors in swimsuits.
That's a lot of hair.
Yeah, I'll have to pass on that.
Yeah, you'll just draw yourself in a swimsuit.
Yeah, that works.
Nokia became a little bit under fire this week as well when apparently a coup was staged by some shareholders to take Nokia back from the evil clutches of Microsoft. Apparently a few shareholders decided that they were unhappy with the new changes, including the bringing in of Stephen Elop, or Elop, to take over CEO and the cozy relationship that they were developing with Microsoft. So they decided to rally up some troops and try to do a forcible takeover of market of Nokia shares in order to put Nokia back on its feet in the way they seem fit. Fortunately, this coup failed, and coincidentally, they brought down their tweets and their blog posts saying that this was all a hoax and it was a iPhone lover that did it. Did Nokia have a chance?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't even paying attention.
All right.
I was drinking whiskey, so I'm just going to go ahead and say no. I don't even know what I'm saying no about.
No.
Yeah, I wish I had some kind of insight on this story, but it's one of those ones that I haven't followed because I kind of don't care. So sorry.
I followed it, and Steven and I had a discussion on the blog page about what they wanted, what they said, but it seemed nice and ideal, but not well thought out.
No, and in all honesty, Nokia needs Microsoft right now just as much as Microsoft needs Nokia. And yeah, every big mobile OS has a hardware vendor in its pocket, whether Apple be its own Apple. Android has Motorola and HTC, and it seems like Windows Phone 7 is having Nokia.
And I think that'd be a good pairing, but we'll have to see how it develops.
Later this year, second half of 2011, is when we should see the very first Nokia Windows Phone 7 devices popping up.
And I'm looking forward to it, because it's time for Symbian to die. I know people like it and all that, but it's crap compared to what's in the marketplace elsewhere.
More than they like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what? Those weirdos are not long for this earth.
Well, how many people in the United States use Symbian? Like, 4?
Yeah, but you gotta talk worldwide.
Well, I mean, I've seen a fair share of, like, E7i Nokia phones and so forth, and I've only ever seen something like the N900, the last one, in electronic stores. I see people claim that they have them, but I can't imagine a lot of these people, because Nokia phones don't have much of a presence at all in the major wireless vendors. So, I mean, it's about time that they actually had more of that. Like, you know, having a display case with Nokia phones that are proper, not good Nokia phones, not just those forgettable, you know, things that remind you more of a Sanyo from Boost.
The majority of people I see with Nokia phones are people with... they're just feature phones that they got for free with their contract. Like, they don't really care that much about using their phone, so they didn't spend any extra money to upgrade.
That's mostly what you get over here in the States, is the sign up now and get a free phone. And it's, you know, some Nokia candy bar or a flip phone that's crap.
I'm not sure if there's any more Nokia stores left in the U.S. I know the New York one closed down. I know the one here in Chicago closed down earlier in 2010. Not sure if they have any more Nokia stores in the U.S.
I didn't even know there was such thing as a Nokia store.
Yes, there was.
Does it also say conducting poopy on the sign?
What?
You've never seen the English.com Nokia billboard? Conducting poopy?
From connecting people. I just got it. Oh,
Steven Kouse is a little slow today.
Just a little bit. It's okay, but on the topic of Windows Phone 7, if you had issues with Windows Phone 7 and Zoom connecting with your Mac, rest assured there is now an app to fix that. Windows Phone 7 and Zoom devices can now sync to Apple computers.
You know what? I'm very glad about that, actually, because I really like the Zoom HD, but at the same time, I don't want to use, like, a boot camp or virtualization software just for a PMP. And, you know, so, I mean, I like the iPod Touch and everything, but, you know, I have my phone and my other iPod, and, you know, I'm sort of a gadget nut, and I like the Zune. I love the Zune desktop software, and it's just a really interesting device that really deserves to have, like, more attention. So I'm glad that they're actually expanding compatibility with that.
Does that mean you can subscribe to Zune Pass on the Mac now? Like, do you actually need a Zune to subscribe to that service?
No. Yeah, you can use it on your Xbox.
So does that mean, like, I could sign up for it? Because, like, it's a pretty cool service, even if I can't use it on my media player. Yeah, you stream it
from any computer with an internet connection.
Yeah, and the really nice about the Zune Pass is each month you can keep, like, an entire album.
Yeah, I think it's like $15 a month, and then you keep 10 songs a month, so it's like you're basically paying $5.
Yeah, they're not in, like, WMV or WMA or something, so they can be used on other devices, I think.
Well, I have a question about the Zune, since it's sort of last thing out of Zune we saw was the Zune HD. Thoughts on a Zune tablet?
I don't see it.
You know what? Actually, it wouldn't be so bad. But something like that would probably need beefier software, like Windows Phone 7, which is pretty much like a more featured. On the surface, looks like a more featured version of the Zune's operating system. And I mean,
I don't think Phone 7 would work. It's sized for like the 3 to 4 inch screen.
Yeah, and the Zune's interface is pretty much very similar to the Zune prior to the touchscreen. So it's pretty much like sort of tailor made. But no, I can see something like that happening. But I doubt Microsoft is going to get into that.
Well, the reason I ask is because there have been very strong rumors coming out from Redmond, from actual people who are connected, suggesting that Windows 8, the next big version of Windows, is going to be featuring a tile-based UI very similar to that of Windows Phone 7.
And isn't it also rumored that it's going to be ARM compatible?
Well, all Windows 7 is going to be ARM compatible, apparently, as they announced at CES that they're working on ARM-based Windows notebooks. So you could definitely guarantee that Windows 8 will be ARM compatible. So this is why I sort of got the whole idea working that maybe a Zune tablet is possible. Maybe it's the next incarnation of Windows 8.
I could see something like that, and it would be nice to be able to have, at least, even if it's not branded specifically as a Zune tablet, to actually have the Zune, like, software on there. I don't know, I'm sort of sketchy on that idea. Like, I'm not sure how well it would work and if Microsoft is interested in investing in that sort of thing. But, I mean, because if the Zune HD is any indication, at least Microsoft can provide something that's really good in terms of, like, their own handset. Because the Zune is a really nice piece of hardware. Like, you know, it has this OLED screen. You know, it's a really fluid interface. It's as smooth as, like, the iPod Touch, basically.
Yes, agreed. Well, flipping over to Cupertino for a second, with the iPad 2 inevitably coming out in the next couple months, rumors for the iPad 3 have already started floating around. And it seems that certain analysts who are connected have been saying that the iPad 2 won't be that big of a step up from the original iPad. If you're expecting a Retina display in the iPad 2, don't. The iPad 2 is probably going to feature a thinner and lighter display that gives you better visibility and direct sunlight, but the resolution will be the same. In fact, the reason they say this is because the industry right now can't mass produce Retina displays that are that big fast enough to beat Apple's demand. So the iPad 3 is when we'll be getting the Retina display for the iPad. And also, rumors are suggesting that a jumbo iPod, they don't want to call it an iPad mini, a jumbo iPod is in the works, probably around anywhere between 5 to 10 inches to fill in the gap for the people that want something that isn't as big and bulky as the iPad, but not as tiny of a screen as the current iPod Touch or iPhone.
Well, if we remember, Steve Jobs famously said nobody wants a 7-inch tablet, so that means, of course, they're making a 7-inch tablet.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, remember, this is the same man who also said, nobody wants to watch video on an iPod next year. iPod video! And nobody wants to read books on, or nobody reads books anymore. Suddenly, iBooks! And all the other things that Steve Jobs has said.
You don't sound like a fanboy at all. Or an anti-fanboy.
Well, no, I... Yeah, whatever.
Well, it would make sense, though, for about maybe, I'd say, a 5-inch. I mean, I don't know if they go on to say 7, because, you know, Steve Jobs was, as and Tim Cook have both said, you know...
6.85.
Yeah, 7 inches. 7 inches is you're doing it wrong. What do you say? You have to file down your fingertips in order to use it on there. But if you've ever watched video on an iPod Touch, the screen is a little bit small. Was it a 3.5-inch screen?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of video on my iPod, and it worked. It wasn't the most pleasurable viewing experience I've ever had, but it got the job done.
Yeah.
And I stream Netflix all the time on my iPhone. It's pretty much all I do at work anymore. Don't tell my boss. But I personally don't have any problems with it. It's perfectly fine. If I want it to be bigger, I just move it closer to my face.
I wouldn't mind.
You get one of those iPod video hats they used to have.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because my self-respect is worth nothing.
Those things were called. They were awesome.
How about those video glasses that connect to the iPod?
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, I think it has like dual displays inside, like the like over each eye or something like that. However that works.
Yeah, you pretty much. Each
it's like
lens
a virtual boy.
Yes.
Converted.
There was more colors than just red and black.
Virtual pad.
But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing something like this for the iPhone one. Like something along the lines of the Evo, or maybe slightly bigger, I'm not sure. But I mean, because after handling the Evo, I can see myself using like a larger displayed phone. And I would like to see something like that for the iPhone. Like it's not an iPad, I can carry it around, still make proper calls on it, and have more display space to be able to enjoy more media on it.
And you, sir, are exactly the market that Apple is probably targeting with the supposed jumbo iPod.
Every time you guys say jumbo iPod, I can only think of jambalaya, and I get a little hungry.
That does sound good. Where did the name Jambalaya come from? It sounds so festive.
It's Cajun.
It's like a song.
I don't know where it Jambalaya came from before that. Maybe French.
Jambalaya. Okay.
Why don't you look at Wikipedia? They're like the, aren't they like the bastion of truth?
Everything is true on Wikipedia.
Yeah, of course.
If you're looking for a Verizon iPhone. You'll be able to find it in a Verizon store very easily, as Verizon iPhone sales were in a bit of a slump. The in-store sales, at least, as it touted that their online sales were going quicker than any other phone they've ever had, and they even had to shut down their online sales portal. But in-store sales, not so much. Yeah, surprise.
I walked over to the Apple store in the mall I work at that day. It was noon. I walked over there. Nobody there. Nobody in the store other than, you know, the typical traffic they always have. Bunch of employees. I asked one of the maintenance guys. I was like, so was there people earlier maybe? He was like, no. They opened at 7. It was full of employees. No one was here. I laughed.
The Verizon sales were numbering under 1,000 per day. And in the Mall of America store, in the Apple store in Mall of America, there was one lady camped out. And when they opened up the doors, all the Apple employees lined up and ushered her in, clapping and cheering. It was really quite sad.
Matt, I almost wish I switched to Verizon now just for that kind of kingly treatment.
I was at the mall by here the other night, and I walked past it one way, and the Apple store was empty except for 3 employees, and one guy looked like he was a bum playing on one of the back machines. And about 20 minutes later, I walked past it the other way, and there were, I swear, having a drum circle in the back. It was a bunch of dudes on stools in not like uniformed attire at all, just wearing street clothes, like hipster street clothes. It was bad. I laughed and pointed with my wife. I was like, oh, it's the Apple Store hipsters.
Could this be because the consumer public was actually educated ahead of time about not buying the iPhone? Not only was it a buzz in the tech sphere that you should not buy the Verizon iPhone since a new iPhone is just around the corner, it also hit the Yahoo front page. It also was on the New York Times. It also was in Wall Street Journal and stuff. Everybody was saying the big question was, should you buy it? And most of the people were saying no, primarily because a new iPhone was on the way in the summertime. You think that actually got to consumers? That's the reason why the sales were low?
I think for the most part, though, it was just a bad time to start buying the iPhone in general. Just, you know, people still had their contracts. Whoever jumped on AT&T for the iPhone 4, you know, people who renewed their contracts to get the iPhone 4 on the cheap. And, you know, it's not worth it to just switch to Verizon all of a sudden, paying the ETF, you know, thinking you're going to recoup the cost of the phone and everything. Unless AT&T service was so atrociously bad that you wanted to choke the life out of everyone in an AT&T store, I mean, why should I jump on the Verizon iPhone? You know, like what's the big draw?
Honestly, I think most of the people who get their, you know, who are researching new phones and all that stuff, they're not going to look to specialty site. They're going to look to their morning newspaper or the nationwide news. And I think people like the Wall Street Journal and stuff like that are like, yeah, I don't know if you should get it. Yeah, then that's what's actually going to be heard.
True, I think it was a little bit of everything. Like, it wasn't even so much all the newspapers that were saying, don't buy it. I think a lot of people, too, have just, like, anyone who wanted an iPhone on Verizon before just kind of gave up a while ago and bought an Android phone and, like, well, I'm stuck with this for a while.
Is Motorola... So
maybe next year.
Is Motorola being threatened now by the iPhone's presence on Verizon? Do you think Motorola is sort of having an oh shit moment?
Probably with the kind of the quote unquote regular people, but amongst kind of the more techie crowd, I'm sure whoever wants an Android and they specifically don't want an iPhone. But for the kind of, you know, the regular guy in the street, he just hears iPhone, and so that's what he wants.
I do think it'll cannibalize it a bit, because I imagine a lot of people who wanted an iPhone but were on Verizon just didn't bother because they don't want to go to AT&T. And I mean, you know, there's a lot going for the iPhone, obviously. You know, it's been so popular all these years, and it's just like one basic design every time. So I can see it sort of eating a little bit into the sales, but yeah, I know there's a huge draw to Android because of how open it is and there's so much different kinds of hardware, so that's definitely going to help. But Motorola specifically, yeah, I can see it being a problem because like the Droid X, nice as the hardware is, it's not as nice a phone to use, in my opinion.
You know, I think if this had happened a year ago, it'd be an entirely different story. Luckily, Android's kind of had enough time to mature on its own to kind of stand up against, you know, the iPhone. But had Apple moved over to Verizon a long time ago, it probably would have just obliterated Android.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, back then, there wasn't anything memorable, about the phones back then. Like, what was around when Android was still starting up?
Was out this time last year.
Yeah.
The original Droid was the whole big thing about Androids.
Yeah, that kind of brought Android to the mainstream. Yeah. Before that, it was like the HTC G1, the MyTouch. There was a couple here and there, but they weren't huge.
But interesting to see. On the topic of the iPhone 4, I would like to move this over to Benguin, who will be giving us a review on actually Square Credit, which is a credit card reader.
Yes.
Or Square Up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it's actually just called Square. The website is squareup.com. But before anyone tunes out like, oh, Benguin, this motherfucker always with his iPhone picks, blah, blah, blah. This is actually an iPhone and Android pick. It works on both platforms. What Square is this little hardware device that plugs into the headphone jack of your device. That's regular 3.5 millimeter. So if you have one of those stupid Android phones that doesn't have a jack, then I guess you're out of luck. Basically, you plug it in, you download the app from the store, and it allows you to take credit card payments. Now, personally, I don't have much of a use for this, and you probably don't either, but it's free. Totally, totally free. The hardware is free. The service is free. The only thing you pay for is every time you make a transaction, they take a little percentage and a little transaction fee off each time. It's not too bad. It's not as bad as if you had a proper like merchant account or something. Or it's not as good, rather. It's 2.75% for every swipe plus 15%. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. It lets you take credit card payments, and if you have like a small business or something and you do a lot of on the go stuff, it's great. So now you don't have to just take cash. It lets you make receipts. You can email or text message a receipt to whoever, and it's pretty cool. And like I said, it's free. So get it. And how often do you get free hardware unless you're Agrippa and you got a CR48 and fuck you? But yeah, that's nice. So squareup.com.
All right, but I'm interested. So pretty much you just plug this thing in your headphone jack, and does it work natively with any website you go to, or do you get to go to websites that specifically accept SquareUp or Square?
Okay, it's not for you to pay. It's basically for someone else to pay you. So say you sell dildos at the flea market, you know, and somebody's like, do you take Visa? Like, now you
I
can.
I sell dildos at the flea market.
Exactly.
What you asked.
So now you could take credit card for your illicit deeds, you know, in back alleys.
Gotcha.
Or you know, say your buddy owes you $20 and he's like, oh, bro, I don't got any cash. I'll get you next time. Fucker, pull out the plastic. You can pay me right now.
All right.
So you could be a loan shark. Like a college loan shark.
I think it's against their terms of service, but just don't say that's what you're doing. And I guess
you're good. So someone reports you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
But it's actually a pretty cool device. The payments take about like a day or two to process, just like any other credit card payment. But it's convenient, and you can't beat that. And it's a lot easier than having to sign up for like a proper account through the bank and blah, blah, blah. No monthly fees.
Plus, I'm sure it's good for, like you said, selling dildos or whatever else at the flea market. I've also seen it in the Intuit commercials. They have a guy who's got a lunch truck. Goes around the construction sites, and they show him using basically something like that.
Yeah, so that kind of thing is what it's perfect for.
So if you own a taco truck, get it. Get it now.
After you get your iPhone or Android device with a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Benguin. Appreciate it as always.
You're welcome. Now,
for those who are listening live and for those on our podcast right now, I have great news. If you have BlackBerry or Android and you used either Uber Twitter or TwitDroid, updates are now available on the market, ending the Twitter blackout. Also, if you used Echofon for the iPhone as well, the blackout has been removed. New updates are available, allowing you to regain access to Twitter. For those who are in the dark about what this is all about, Twitter decided to be a dick earlier this week, and without any warning, we're pretty much banned every single app owned by Uber Media, which includes Uber Twitter for the BlackBerry, TwitDroid, or TwiDroid, whatever they call it now, for the Android, Echofon, which is also a cross-platform Mac and iPhone app, and I believe now TweetDeck, although I know they acquired TweetDeck recently, I'm not sure if TweetDeck was also blocked, but pretty much anything that Uber Media owned to access Twitter was blocked because Twitter accused them of violating the terms of service and doing some stuff like that, and copyright infringement for actually using the Twitter name in their apps. Now, funny how this happened, without any warning, the very first update you saw on your device was, hey, download the official Twitter app to get your fix because this app has been banned. And Twitter's big push was coincidentally that same day on Twitter, everybody to get the official Twitter app. So get your tinfoil hats on, because was this a sort of way to get people to use an official Twitter app, or was this a legitimate cause against Uber Media for violating the terms of service?
This is the first time I'm hearing about this, but it pretty much sounds like they just wanted people to use their own app.
Yeah, it's probably both. Honestly, I think their big deal was with PMs. They had I guess you could do the tweet longer version of PMs, but that involved putting PMs on a different server, I guess. And I think they did do advertising on the BlackBerry one, Uber Twitter.
Now, any normal business probably would have given Uber Media a notice saying, hey, you have 48 hours or 72 hours to get this shit fixed, otherwise you're banned. But other people may argue otherwise.
Maybe they did. I don't know. I haven't heard anything either way.
Well, in the end, estimates are that Uber Media controls 20% of the tweets that get sent to Twitter on a daily basis. So that means 20% of all Twitter users, of all tweets, went dark. So who really lost here? Was it Uber Media or was it the actual Twitter users? That was a rhetorical question that I wanted an answer to. But I was saying Uber Media, their estimated market share of all tweets on a per day basis was 20%. So 20% of all tweets sent daily came from an Uber Media device. So who really got the short end of the stick? Was it Uber Media or was it the actual Twitter users?
Well, obviously it was the Twitter users. Uber Media was kind of testing the stick with what using, you know, the stuff that they were actually going against the terms of service with. But who cares? It's the big... doesn't matter to me.
Well, the Twitter app on the iPhone was actually formerly Tweety2. They bought out Tweety2 and made it into the Twitter app, which is actually very nice. If you use the iPhone, it's probably one of the best ones, the best apps out there for using Twitter. Unfortunately, on BlackBerry, it's arguable, but unfortunately for BlackBerry and Android, Uber Twitter for BlackBerry, well, not Uber Social for BlackBerry, and TwitDroid are probably have the upper hand in terms of functionality, features, and overall usage. So a lot of people who switched over to the official Twitter app complained, like Gonzo did, that it actually sucked major balls. Right, Gonzo? Gonzo's mic is dead.
He can't rebut.
Oh, Poor Gonzo. Well, just pretend that Gonzo's giving you a very anger-filled rant right now about not giving a shit or something. So, in other news, if you're planning on getting reincarnated in China anytime soon, think again. You gotta get a permit from the Chinese government if you're planning on getting reincarnated by a Tibetan or Buddhist monk.
This was one of my favorite stories of the week. It's so ridiculous.
Is that a Gonzo sigh?
No, that's a me sigh.
Oh. Thought it was back. That's his usual, like, exhalation of smoke, and I don't give a shit.
No, this is more of my, okay, China, god yes. Damn it. Okay.
Usually the topic is goddamn Japan. Today it's goddamn China. But yeah, Chinese government requires you to have certain forms now in order to get reincarnated in China. So keep that in mind if you're planning on dying anytime soon.
There goes my weekend plans.
That's the thing, though. What if I get reincarnated in the next town over and I'm like, you know, newborn or like a baby fox and I don't know where I put my paperwork?
Well, you're stuck in limbo then, friend.
No, I'm a paperless. I'm an illegal reincarnatist.
You're a legal reincarnatist?
What's the...
you know what? I can make up new words.
What happens if you are illegally reincarnating? Do they fine you? Do they kill you? Do they re-reincarnate you back to your old self and put you in prison?
Unincarnate?
Yeah,
killing, I guess.
Which is basically execute you, which is deportation.
But what if you're not reincarnated as a human?
Well, you get eaten.
What if you're an air molecule? I don't know how this thing works.
Well, look, Beetlejuice already established that dying comes with along with it some sort of red tape. So who's surprised?
Oh, China.
Red China, red tape.
In other related news, you can smoke crack socially now, get addicted, according to new studies. Turns out that about under 10% of people who actually do smoke crack become crack fiends. The other people, about 15 to 20%, use it occasionally after 2 years of exposure, whereas most other people simply stop using it. So social crack use is actually more common than crack addicts.
This is where we're at now as a society. We're so collectively bored that we just have to socially smoke crack.
It's like, I kind of like it, but, you know, it's more fun if I have some friends doing it with me.
You know what's really stupid? The article on this has a picture of a crack in the sidewalk. Because there's... Yeah, there's not millions of pictures on the internet of crack rocks that they could have used.
Maybe they should just use a. Is better than the plumber's crack, right?
That would have been more interesting. Probably garner more page views.
Well, I think dating sites are going to be a little bit hesitant to adopt this as one of their about you profile features. You know, they have like smoking.
Drinker, smoker, crack.
Yeah, they have drinker, smoker, and they have option of like heavy smoker, social drinker, never, you know. You know, crack, you know, social crack user, never use crack, addicted. Not sure if that's going to go over too well. But you never know.
Hey, bro, what do you want to do tonight? Want to get some pizza? Nah, let's stay in and smoke some crack.
Oh, boy, crack. We shouldn't make fun of crack. It's a very serious issue in America.
Crack's bad for you.
And Gonzo is back.
Are we still reverb?
Yeah, he had to come back with the crack talk.
What? Yeah, he's,
I can hear your bag of Sun Chips.
My bad. Crack. It's my bag of crack.
I remember some black baggies being bad crack giveaway.
Hey, you never know, man.
Well, in other news, in 1929, a certain scientist predicted and made a case for that humans will have wings in the near future and be able to fly around. Coincidentally, the doctor's name was Lucien Bull, or Dr. Bull.
Yeah, that... No, wait, I didn't actually read the story. Was he meaning, like, evolving wings or just having wings, like, prosthetic wings, like Icarus and Daedalus?
I believe he was saying that we will be, you know, evolving wings.
I think he comes from the Pokemon school of thought of evolution.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What a lot of wings.
What a crock of shit. That's all I gotta say about that. I mean... You know, other than the only, like, true flying mammal, you know, the bat. Has there ever been any other creature at all in all the fossil record that one can point out that has flying, you know, hominid-like, you know, what is it, gargoyles?
Yeah, he's basically using creationist logic to...
Yeah.
Like, we suddenly have wings now.
Yeah, wow. if you throw an infant into a box with feathers and you shake it around for a few days, you'll come out with a bird, a baby bird.
Gonzo, what the hell are you doing over there?
Isn't that what was about?
Yeah, I'm really confused.
I don't know. I'm trying to light a cigarette.
Can you mute your mic?
Are you using, like, a flamethrower to light it?
Yeah, my bad, dude. I got it.
Dr. Bull actually was convinced, and he actually believed that human wings would become a perfectly natural and logical development, and saw nothing in his startling claims to arouse surprise. He goes on, quote, saying...
did he socially smoke crack by any chance?
He actually tried to convince a group of American scientists this. He said that... All that is necessary is to adapt ourselves to the air. And I don't mean to say that there are no problems to overcome. There are many of them. But I'm convinced the development of light, strong, metal-like magnesium aluminum will continue until some alloy is perfected from which human wings weighing about a pound can be fashioned.
So prosthetic wings, then.
Okay, maybe he is talking about...
prosthetics.
Add-on wings.
Yeah, don't fly too close to the sun, you jackass.
To generate enough force to be able to fly with prosthetic wings would wear you out before you even got off the ground.
Yeah, you have to have the metabolism, you have to have the anatomical structure in order to do it. You'd still require a machine. Hey, but you know what? We already have that shit. Airplanes.
Maybe his theory was that we'll develop prosthetic wings, but we won't be able to use them very well, so we'll evolve to use them.
You mean like a hang glider?
I guess. I don't know.
Lots of steroid.
I love how we're trying to disprove his fact with science.
Someone has to use science.
We're essentially
besides the fact that it hasn't happened yet.
We're essentially feeding the science troll.
Yes. Dr. Bull is probably laughing at us right now from his grave.
He's wearing a troll mask.
He's been legally reincarnated as an actual scientist.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say as a bird.
Come back as a bat.
Damn it. That would probably be a win in his column.
Shit.
Oh well, but and also in another unrelated story, Anonymous, the quote unquote anonymous group of the internet.
Best segue ever.
decided to take HB Gary Federal, which is I guess a security firm of some sort. They took it head on and. A lot of shit happened, which I'm sort of still confused about, but apparently this HB Gary Federal group decided to take out Anonymous, and it was convinced that Anonymous was actually a terrorist group run by a small group of individuals, and everybody else was just, you know, just saying that they were part of Anonymous. So he actually conducted, quote-unquote, research, this guy who was in charge of it.
That Aaron Barr guy is a total fucking nutcase.
Yeah, but he pretty much supposedly stated that he had found the addresses and phone numbers and residences of Anonymous leaders. And he actually, I believe, got authorities to kick down a few doors and arrest some people on the false claims that they were anonymous. And what's funny through this whole thing is that the people that were working for this company, HB Gary Federal, whatever it was called, they actually told the guy that, yeah, this is all bullshit. It's not really
true. Yeah, he was like, the way he was doing it was like reverse social media. So he was like looking at who posted in the anonymous Facebook group and who was in the IRC, and he could track them down through Twitter and shit.
I think one of the funniest ways he was able to track people down was he looked at their Facebook friend list. And yeah. He, from process of elimination, he said, well, since most of this person's friends are concentrated in this location, for example, Buffalo, New York, this means that this person is from Buffalo, New York. And this, I would track it down and narrow it down and track down who these people were.
Yeah, because that works well in the age of the internet.
Yeah, that is the best type of deduction ever.
Needless to say, HB Gary, whatever the fuck it's called, Gary BH Federal.
It's HB Gary.
The Federales, they are in deep doo-doo.
So now we're fighting the Mexicans?
Well, and the fucked up thing about it is these guys are like a government security contractor. And they were able to get this guy's password, and he apparently had the same password for everything. It was only like 6 characters. That's not very secure for a security expert.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't the word password. It was the word strong password. So he thought it was safe.
Nice.
Oh, people, when are you going
to... It really did a lot of bad stuff for the company because they were trying to sell it, and now it's basically like... Wow, these guys are a bunch of dumbasses.
Didn't they secure, I think, at least $1 million in funding for this as part of their contracts?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but sure, why not?
These people tricked the government into giving your tax dollars, $1 million of your tax dollars to them. We'll start that rumor right now.
Just to do this? Just...
Yes.
To basically read Encyclopedia Dramatica all day.
Isn't this tantamount to getting an organization to fund your hunt for a shark because it ate your friend, like in the Life Aquatic?
You're one of two people I know who've seen that movie.
That movie was real, man, based off true story.
Doesn't mean I wanted to see it.
Well, speaking of Anonymous, though, Didn't they just send an ultimatum to the Westboro Baptist Church, basically telling them knock your shit off?
Although, if you think about it, I don't know if it makes sense or not that Anonymous would take on Westboro, because if Anonymous is all about free speech and troll facing and doing whatever you want, isn't Westboro pretty much the real life version of Anonymous?
Anonymous is real, dude.
Well, not so much.
Okay, Neil.
People know who who the hell knows who Anonymous is. You know, per their group name, Anonymous.
Westboro, though, they're the ones that go to funerals of dead soldiers and put up posters saying, like, you know, it's a good thing he died because this is payback for gay people or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, really, that's pretty ridiculous.
Really fucked up posters like that. So,
yeah, I approve of fucking with them, with the Westboro Baptists. Fuck those guys.
That is a personal point on mine. I hate them.
Yes. So, green light on that, Westboro. If you want to take on Noisecast, fucking come protest outside our offices. I have a potato gun waiting for you.
Yeah, don't try to protest my funeral. Someone's going to shoot your ass.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened. Seriously.
Because of all the police that show up.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised none of the cops have been like, we're going to take a 30-minute coffee break on the other side of town.
Because the police officers are not corrupt like that.
Come on, let me live in this world where... bad shit.
I can find a town where if you say, hey, there's some stuff you need to go look at behind the trees, police would wander off.
Is that because they're stupid or because they want to see their This is Arkansas.
They'll just let stuff happen.
That's gonna be the best excuse to give a police officer. Hey, man, there's something for you to see behind that tree.
there's some donuts. I'll go check them out, and then coast is clear.
In other weird news, Kaiser might be the professional expert on this one, since he is a resident of New York City. But New York might be dishing out pricking tests in pharmacies for $29.99. Purchase your own version of Maury's, Are You My Daddy?
Yeah, is he on the box?
No need to go on the Maury Show anymore.
His business, his shows is going to go to crap.
Like, Maury, I don't understand why I'm on the show. I took the test myself at home, and it said I'm not the father. I don't understand. It's redundant. I don't need to be here.
It's okay. He's still got fat kids that he can feature.
Oh, the fat babies. Oh, that's so weird.
Oh, boy. I'm not sure how exactly this will go over. But yeah, it's $29.99. I'm not sure if it's available yet. It should probably be soon. But Dwayne
Reed, be sure to go out and get it.
It's called the Identigene DNA Paternity Test Collection Kit. DNA test results are reported to you within 3 to 5 days. $29.99, but then you obviously will be paying for DNA lab clinic fees, which is about roughly around $300 after that. So for about $329.99, you can find out if you're the daddy.
The hidden cost is where they get you, man.
So, it'll be available at retail stores. So look at your local Walmart in New York.
It's cheaper than child support.
Are there Walmarts in New York?
Walmarts? No. There's one in New Jersey, and I believe there may be one upstate, but no one cares about upstate.
There's not any in New York City.
Yeah, that's what that meant. Like Kaiser said, nobody cares about upstate.
It's true. Nobody cares.
But yes, the workers in the clinics will serve as witnesses to the test, so guarantee that it'll upstand in court if you go get one.
I've seen some of the people working behind the counter in like some of the shadier pharmacies, pharmaceutical assistants. I don't know if I want them to witness anything.
Well, like Dr. Nick Riviera types.
Minus the doctor.
Well, I'm a pre-med student.
I actually go to school. But...
All right, this is going to lead to issues. I'm guaranteeing you some wife or some mom that wants to find out if a certain somebody is the dad is going to go with like a razor or something and purposely cut somebody just to get a sample of their blood and do this DNA test without their permission. At least that's what I would do if I was psychotic.
You go around killing people.
Do you actually need a blood sample? Can't you just use saliva?
To eat your sticks in your mouth.
They start swabbing people while they're like passed out.
Or grab them by the face and just like, chloroform and swab.
I'm pretty sure it's
the most effective method.
I don't think that everyone's going to rush out and buy these and be like, I've got to test this out now.
No. I can't wait to see if I'm the father.
Pretty sure poor kids as well who've been teased all their life that they've been adopted are probably going to do this too. Go home to mommy and daddy's bedroom at night.
There's a lot of trust dreams.
Swab them while they're sleeping.
I'm totally not murdering families.
These ideas I'm having are not stemming from personal experience, by the way. Contrary to belief that is probably boiling up in you people right now.
Oh, actually, yeah, it wasn't before you mentioned it.
Now that you mentioned it.
It definitely is now.
Mom, Dad, if you're listening to this podcast, am I really adopted?
Hi, Mom.
Why don't I have any brothers and sisters that look like me? Why?
Maybe they're adopted.
All seven of them?
All 17 of them.
Hey, it worked for Angelina Jolie, right?
Oh, God.
Is your mom Angelina Jolie?
If so, what's your number?
She's actually said that she is going to stop adopting children. She gave an ultimatum.
Your mom or Angelina?
Because China ran out of
babies. I'm not sure yet.
She met her quota. They have a baby meter in the house.
Because they didn't file their reincarnation papers, so no new babies are being made.
Maybe it's in violation of some zoning law.
Oh, boy. On that note, real quick, if you jailbreak your PS3, you will be banned from the PlayStation Network. FYI, Sony's taking an aggressive stance against all these, with its lawsuit against Geohot and its PS3 jailbreak. If you jailbreak it, if you mod it, you shall be banned from the PlayStation Network, similar to how Xbox bans people off its network.
Is that IP ban?
It's like the console. It's a console ban, like Xbox does.
They probably banned the MAC address for it.
Yeah. So
that's actually, I thought that was fairly easy to spoof.
I have no idea. I'm not really versed on the whole thing, but
yeah, I don't either. I guess they could ban your serial number.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
But it seems the people that are going to be jailbreaking are the people they want to use Linux or some other operating system on their PS3.
Yeah, the main argument is always like piracy. But I don't know so much about PS3, but I know on all the other devices I've used Homebrew on, piracy is not nearly as prevalent as just all the other cool stuff that you can do with it. Like on my iPhone, it's less about pirating apps as it is just doing other things. So whatever, they're just being dicks.
Yeah, but they're gonna cry piracy because that gets headlines and gets shit done.
Exactly. It's like anytime like an internet thing comes up, it's always about like, it's to cut back on child porn, and if you fight back against child porn, then you support child porn, so everyone has to support us or else you support like, child porn.
Like piracy, I mean, it happens, it's kind of rampant, but it majority of the people aren't doing it.
Yeah, it's a straw man argument.
More people smoke crack socially than pirate stuff for the PS3.
Unless you're talking about music, then everyone does that.
You wouldn't download a car, would you?
Fuck yeah, I would. Fuck good.
Downloading music illegally supports crack.
I wonder if 3D printers ever catch on, if you could pirate a program to build a car.
Yeah, maybe you could download a car.
Now, would you drive a car that was printed on your home 3D printer?
Yes, I would.
As far as I could.
I'd drive it until it broke.
I think they already made a car.
I don't think they have metal 3D printers.
Hey, I'd drive a paper car.
I think they actually have already made a first car made entirely out of a 3D printer.
I could do a bicycle.
I've never had experience with a 3D printer, but there was a news, wasn't there, that they're exploring 3D printers for food?
A replicator.
So, you know what I call that? I call that a tube of mustard and a tube of ketchup and like a tube of whatever else that was in the Matrix. And they just kind of squish them together. That's all that's going to be.
This thing only makes hot dogs.
It's sort of like that machine in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, you know, the thing that produces food from water.
Yeah.
It'll print some bacon on some paper and be like, fold it over, here you go.
It's bacon, it's like bacon. Paper. My microwave printer can do that.
It'll just be paper that has scratch-and-sniff capabilities. So they just print a strip of bacon on there, tell you to scratch it, and then devour the piece of paper.
Right, yeah, we're out to really annoy some Ethiopians. Smell it? Smell it? some kid in America.
Oh, shit.
There go our Ethiopian listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, oh. That was our key demo.
All three of them.
That was our only remaining demographic.
We actually have a large following from Germany and Russia on the Noisecast website.
Yeah, because we haven't talked shit about them yet.
Yeah, well, but now it's time.
But yeah, I was looking at the stats for the Noisecast blog, which, by the way, we're updating more and more frequently now with actual breaking news stories, sometimes even getting the story out a full day before some of the big-name sites like Engadget or Gizmodo are.
Yeah, but saying we had a story before Gizmodo is like saying I beat a guy with no legs in a foot race.
And get, is that downhill in a wheelchair? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Nice.
No, actually, the U.S. is our first big traffic source. Then comes Canada, and then Germany. So, and apparently most people that view our site use Chrome. 43% of all visitors use Chrome.
I'm proud of all of you. All 43%. The rest of you better be on a Mac.
21% use Firefox. 15% use Internet Explorer.
Bad.
13% Safari and so on. 15% use Internet Explorer.
If they're stuck at work, I understand it. If not, bad.
And for operating systems, 60% is Windows, 27% Macintosh, 4% is iPhone, and sorry, Linux, only 2%.
I'm going to have to start getting on there more on Linux. Boost the ratings.
And speaking of Nokia, we had 8 visits from a Nokia browser since we started last year.
That's weird.
What madness is this?
That's like 100% of the population.
So... stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Nokia. Socially.
On that note, we should be wrapping this up. So any last words, any final things we want to mention?
I have to get a new microphone.
Yes.
I kind of do want a pair of wings, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, maybe you'll come up with a way to make them after you smoke some crack socially.
No, I'll skip on crack.
To support the wings article, you will be able to fly upstairs instead of walking up a flight of stairs.
Well, why even have stairs anymore? If we have...
And how wide would that staircase or that lifting area be?
Well, the wings, they say, would have to be at least 8 feet long.
No, they.
And if they're made out of metal, there's going to be a lot of decapitations and scalpings.
Oh boy, I can't even think about that anymore. That's just Dr. Bull. Thank you, Dr. Bull. Anyway, this was episode 19 of the Noisecast, where you could read our blog and our breaking stories. And from now on, we're probably going to be doing some more in-depth stuff like editorials, instructional posts and videos, so how-tos. Like how to do something.
Awesome. This is the kind of in-depth coverage you can look forward to at thenoisecast.com.
Thenoisecast.com, that's right.
How to
check
do
out
something.
Our instructables on how to do.
I'm going
to
write this up as soon as we get off
the air. You take a something and then something. You do it. How to do something. 2 steps.
How to smoke crack socially. That's what we'll do a thing on.
I'm not doing
a
video
quote
review
of the week.
We just gotta find some volunteers. I don't know. We'll find somebody.
I know some people.
But on that note, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can just hit us up at twitter.com/noisecast. And also, you can email us at our very special Noisecast email address, which just happens to be, can't remember it exactly. It is
noisecast@noisecast.com.
That thing, yes. Noisecast, it's a very difficult address to remember, but noisecast@noisecast.com. We look forward to your feedback and your comments and your suggestions.
What about Gonzo's feedback?
He doesn't give a shit.
I'm going to the store tomorrow, so feel excited.
On that note, on tonight's episode, we had Gonzo Ryder.
Yeah, not really.
Sort of. For half of the show. For half the show, we had his reverb.
Well, for half the show, we had him twice, so it works out.
Oh.
You had him twice.
Oh,
you weren't supposed to tell anybody, man.
Well,
I was informed of this.
Hey, our 2 Ustream listeners now know the secret.
Well,
they know.
We have to kill them.
They have no friends. They don't have no one to tell.
See, they're lucky. They're getting the unedited version of this, so all this is going to be cut out.
Don't know how that's lucky.
Ooh, we should start doing, like, insider info, cool things only for the Ustream people that listen live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so stick around after the broadcast, and we'll tell you something.
Stick around for the flagellation. But as I was saying, we had Gonzo Ryder.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah. We said you already. Kaiser Meghead.
No longer sober.
Well, no longer sober. Be sure to visit his. Be sure to visit his site at doodleofboredom.com. We had Kevlar Metis.
Howdy.
Who set up the Ustream and probably did some live tweeting as well, which I can now see on my Android phone because I updated my Android app and it's no longer banned.
Yay. I also started trolling the comment section on the Ustream as an admin.
That's Kevlar for you. He's always trying to keep our listeners happy. And lastly, we had Benguin.
I believe I can fly. And how come you never pimp my website, Callus?
What is your website?
SavageBoredom.com.
Thank you.
Kevlar's an unknown. How do you know all these things?
Because I sleep under his bed.
Do you sleep under him in his bed, or do you just sleep under his bed?
Sometimes. I stand by what I said.
No, then there's no sleeping involved.
Oh shit,
I can vouch for this.
Oh boy.
Hey, we were supposed to save this exclusive content for after the broadcast, you guys, for our two listeners.
Oh boy. They're gonna be going to New York and getting paternity tests after this for God knows what reason.
I've already booked my flight.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting a whole crate of those shipped in to me. I got a lot of tests to run.
You got a lot of baby daddies, Callus?
Well, after one night in Callus, there's quite a few to be done.
That's why I hate Father's Day. Father's Day is my least favorite holiday because I always expect somebody to come knocking at my door and saying, "Hey, Dad." And they're like,
"It sounds older than you."
In such a deep voice.
Some 45-year-old person comes in and says, "Hey, Dad," to me.
Or Standish.
Yes. Standish will show up. Oh, I'm getting arrested. This was The Noisecast. Thanks for listening live, and thanks for downloading and subscribing to our wonderful, wonderful show. Until next time, same place, this was The Noisecast.